We could spend all day saying thank you to everyone who supports WSHU with financial contributions. I'm Desiree DiOrio, and one way I say thank you is by covering public policy on Long Island to help you stay connected and informed. Your financial support is the lifeblood of the WSHU newsroom. Thank you for making this trusted resource available to our community. We're expanding our world together.
The U.S. Geological Survey will monitor a handful of rivers and streams in Suffolk County for potential toxins from stormwater runoff. Funding comes from the Water Quality Restoration Act passed by the county legislature last November. Kevin McCaffrey is the legislature's presiding officer.
All these streams, you mentioned all these streams, these five or six streams that we're talking about, they have one thing in common, and that is that they all flow into the Great South Bay. And unless we make sure we protect those streams and those waterways, we're still going to have those continual problems on the Great South Bay, regardless of whether or not we reduce all the nitrates through sewering and through the IA systems.
The bay is a critical habitat for fish and other marine life. It also supports a commercial fishing industry, including shellfish, which are slowly making a comeback thanks to seeding and habitat restoration. This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut launches a free online civics course for residents. A new report finds Suffolk is a leader in severe weather response. Connecticut will spend $3 million on food aid amid the government shutdown, plus a conversation with an expert on all things WWE. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut's Secretary of the State has launched a free training course to help state residents better understand how the government works. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas says the Power of Civics platform is aimed at encouraging civic engagement without making it boring. She says the hope is to make it easier for people to turn their beliefs into meaningful civic action.
This platform is designed for anyone of any age, whether they are able to vote or not, whether they have 5 minutes or 5 years to work on this. So I hope people will log in and sign on.
The platform is on the Secretary of the State's website. Its launch coincides with National Civics Day, which recognizes the importance of civics education and marks the anniversary of the first release of the Federalist Papers in 1787. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
A new report shows Suffolk County is a leader in New York State when it comes to severe weather events. WSHU's Christopher Schulz has more.
The report by State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli says Suffolk County has experienced 1,751 severe weather events since 1996. That's the most out of all 62 counties in New York. In addition, the Long Island region leads the state in emergency disaster declarations. There's been 67 since 1978. New York Governor Kathy Hochul introduced a $4.2 billion plan in April to upgrade infrastructure that will better resist extreme weather. DiNapoli and Hochul say that's on top of almost $1 billion in federal assistance they receive yearly to combat storm damage. Christopher Schulz, WSHU News.
Connecticut will spend $3 million to keep food aid benefits available for residents during the government shutdown. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports the measure has bipartisan support.
More than 360,000 CT residents rely on SNAP, the federal food aid program. President Donald Trump says he won't supplement it with emergency funds during the lapse in federal funding. Governor Ned Lamont says his administration is stepping in with $3 million.
This is going to be able to provide about 3 million meals a week for folks. You get a grocery bag, you get the loaded up with things you need. That can be milk, that can be yogurt, that can be chicken, that can be fresh produce.
But the money is nothing close to the $72 million the federal government usually doles out every month in Connecticut. And it won't go to benefit cards like beneficiaries are used to. The money will go to the nonprofit Connecticut Food Share, which will stock local food pantries. It's coming out of the state's Medicaid budget. And Lamont says if the shutdown drags on, they'll use money from the Rainy Day Fund. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Connecticut-based WWE has produced some pretty big stars over the years, one of whom is highlighted in a new book. A conversation on that is coming up. Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Do you ever wonder why your favorite artists make the music they make? What those cryptic lyrics are really about? I'm Raina Duris. I host Conversations from the World Cafe, and I'm on a quest to get you those answers and a whole lot more. Tune in for candid conversations plus live performances you won't hear anywhere else from the artists you already know and love and the emerging artists I know you're going to love on Conversations from the World Cafe.
Saturday night at 7 on WSHU Public Radio.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says the state might need to change its laws around climate and energy. She says it's become too expensive for the state to adequately address the climate crisis. A judge recently told the state to enforce its regulations on meeting greenhouse gas emissions. National Grid's Riverhead facility will expand so it can hold more tanker trucks. The natural gas company says the upgrade will improve gas capacity across the region on the coldest days of the winter when people most use gas. It says the expansion will more than double how many trucks it can hold. Charges have been dropped against a woman arrested for protesting President Trump on multiple Connecticut bridges. She was arrested twice this summer, once for putting unauthorized signs on a highway, and later for posting a video of herself protesting on social media. The U.S. Coast Guard says they'll give Connecticut-based Sikorsky a contract for new Seahawk helicopters to replace their aging fleet. The Trump administration has to approve that contract. The helicopters would replace the ones the Coast Guard has been using since the 80s. A new book paints a picture of 40 years of wrestling history as seen through the eyes of one of its most successful and beloved stars. Gorilla Monsoon went from wrestler to commentator to the fictional president of wrestling's largest franchise. The book is called Irresistible Force. WSHU's Davis Dunovan sat down with its author, wrestling historian Brian Solomon.
Brian, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, Davis. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you're not only a wrestling historian and a former writer for WWF Magazine, right?
That's right, yeah.
You're also just a lifelong wrestling fan, so I wanted to start by asking, what is your first memory of this wrestler named Gorilla Monsoon?
I think my first memory of Gorilla Monsoon would be similar to a lot of people who, like me, started watching the WWF in the 80s during that whole era of Hulk Hogan and WrestleMania. At that time, he was the commentator. He was the lead play-by-play announcer. And so we would hear him every week on TV. So for people that grew up then, he's kind of like a voice of your childhood.
He doesn't look like a Gorilla Monsoon. He starts out as a guy named Robert Morella, right?
That's right.
Tell me about Robert Morella. What led him into the world of pro wrestling?
So Robert Morella was from Rochester, New York, and he was born in the 1930s, and he came from an Italian-American family, which wasn't really known during his wrestling career because he used that name Gorilla Monsoon. He was a very large man. He was 6'6" and anywhere between 325 to 400 pounds, depending on the year.
He is a, what we call a face, right? A good guy when he begins as Gino Morella.
Yes, yes, face, which is short for baby face. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What they were looking for was a monster. And that's kind of how Gorilla Monsoon was born. They kind of took one look at him and they created this character of a different race. I mean, he was supposed to be, they called him the Manchurian Giant. There was such a sense of the other back in those days with the villains of wrestling. They had to be these foreign menaces, so he was built up as this savage beast that his manager had found. I think they had said that they found him bathing nude in a stream, and he would, you know, he was living this wild, savage lifestyle, and so he would never speak at all. He would have a mouthpiece, a manager who spoke for him.
And the irony here being that he would become so well known for his speaking as a commentator.
Right.
And that he was actually a really smart guy.
What you see happen is that the people in power started discovering exactly what you're saying. We're kind of wasting this guy in this way. He has a good head on his shoulders. He's college educated, very well spoken, good head for business. So about 1969, they start to transition him where He gets more of an ownership stake in the company. And on top of that, they turn him back to babyface. Mm-hmm. And he pretty much drops the whole Manchurian persona.
But he keeps the name.
He keeps the name. There's money in the name. And he starts speaking perfect English. He was actually very erudite, very well-spoken and well-read. And, of course, typical to pro wrestling, there was absolutely no explanation for why this happened.
Amid the WWF heyday, he's teamed as a commentator in this back-and-forth relationship that ends up setting kind of the standard for how wrestling commentators work with this other guy named Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Well, to put it plainly, they became a comedy team.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gorilla Monsoon along with Bobby the Brain Heenan on this very special Mother's Day weekend.
I wish Mother's Day was every day. Last year, my mom got me a red Mercedes.
What do you mean, got you?
Well, it's Mother's Day.
You're supposed to show your love and give something to your mom.
I'm her kid. How's that?
You're disgusting. Here we go.
That's been replicated a lot since that time in wrestling. Bobby Heenan had been a wrestling manager, very colorful character, very funny guy. I knew him personally, and he was genuinely funny even away from the cameras. And when they put them together, it was just magic. I mean, they really were like an Abbott and Costello, very natural comedy team. They had a lot of chemistry, and they also became the greatest of friends. And that came through. Even though they were playing these adversarial roles on TV, you could tell that they had a fondness for each other, and it really worked.
Gorilla Monsoon in the 90s, he experiences some personal tragedy, right? He loses his son in 1994, is that right?
Yes, it was July 4th, 1994.
And Gorilla Monsoon himself dies in, is it 1999?
Yeah, he died in October 1999, so he lived for 5 years after the death of his son.
What were his last years like? Because they're also marked by the time in which he's the on-screen president of the company.
It was definitely a lot sadder, and if I could pull back the curtain a little bit, you know, playing that on-air role as the president was far less demanding because he was not the actual president. So all he would have to do would kind of come out every now and then and issue some proclamation and then go backstage again. So it wasn't like the weekly grind of announcing all these shows.
Sounds a lot like almost like an emeritus, like it's a position of honor where he didn't have to do much, but the company could show its respect for him.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. It was someone they knew the fans would respect. It was someone they knew that they would expect to be in a position like that by that point. And it was a way to keep him on television, to keep him relevant, but take it easy on him. Let him take some of those responsibilities off of him. Give him a little more space.
Your previous book was about another classic wrestler, The Sheik. What was it about Gorilla Monsoon that drew you to him?
Well, there were a couple of ideas there. One of the reasons was that it had never been done. And WWE even, who that company was partly founded by him and established by him. And during his lifetime, he was so cherished. And yet, they've done very little with him. And I thought something really needs to be done to preserve the legacy of this person who was a cornerstone of what is now the most successful wrestling company of all time. So I thought that that had to be preserved. The other thing, reason why, and I wanted to touch on this, is more than just a life story. There's a reason I call it The Life and Times, because it also tells the whole story of, you know, the first 40 years, let's say, of what is now WWE and the establishment of that company, especially in those early years, and how it was growing all around him and the connections that he had to it.
Solomon is a wrestling historian, former writer for WWF Magazine, and the author of the new book, Irresistible Force, The Life and Times of Gorilla Monsoon. Brian, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Davis. Thanks for having me.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio at WSHU.org or with our free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. Tomorrow, October 29th, we are celebrating Public Radio Music Day on WSHU. You'll hear performances by local musicians, ensembles, and composers, including live recordings from Orchestra Lumos. That's tomorrow on WSHU 91.1, 107.5, and streaming online or with our app. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll speak with you tomorrow.